Hi, and welcome to the I Teach Podcast. I'm Tamika, and I'm joined by
Hannah
and Jamila.
Today, we're going to be talking about the moment I realized I could handle the new norm. And basically, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be comparing things pre-pandemic and post-pandemic and talking about those things that came about that remain and those things that came about that we may want to change. And so, let's get started.
I've been thinking back about just this whole pandemic and how absolutely crazy it is that we are still in a pandemic. Like, I remember back, it was like around March 12th-ish or somewhere around there, and we were going into this lockdown mode, and everybody thought, okay, surely 2 weeks tops. Then it turned into, okay, maybe, you know, by the end of April. Oh, well, surely by the summer we'll be back at it. And it has literally just continued and continued. Even I remember when we were leaving the school year, it was like, oh, thank God, we made it through the end of this virtual teaching stuff. You know, teachers were super happy that they no longer had to do this. We really didn't think far into, like, what does the next school year look like? And so it's just so crazy to think about the fact that now we have literally been through almost a whole school year and a half of virtual teaching or hybrid teaching and all these different things. So it's just amazing to me. And it makes me wonder, like, what is going to happen next? Like, what is happening?
So, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I've noticed that there's been some things that we've all done and there's been some things that teachers have all done and things that we've started to do that now have just kind of become part of the normal. And, you know, it brings into question, you know, what is going to stick around? Like, what have we learned? What do we like? What do we don't like? What are we going to filter through? And what are we going to keep doing in the future? So, like, for example, prior to virtual learning, we tried to do virtual meetings with teachers, right? As coaches, we were wanting to kind of form that transition of, like, not just only meeting face-to-face, but being available whenever. So that was really tough for teachers because they didn't know about the platforms. They didn't know how to even join a virtual meeting. They weren't sure how to work all of the turning off and turning on of the video and the microphone. But think about how everyone now and how we're experts at, okay, you need to mute yourself. Okay, I can't see yourself.
It's so funny now, every time somebody comes on, even though we know how to mute and unmute, it never fails that during some conversation where it's multiple people talking, you have to say, hey, you're on mute. Hey, that's like it's almost a meme in itself right now to just say, hey, you're on mute. Don't forget to unmute yourself. But like you said, yeah, I remember trying to get meetings with teachers in a virtual sense. And it was like this full on, total different concept of how that would even happen or even using like Teams and things like that. They weren't familiar with using it. So it's just amazing how much growth has happened. Forceful, probably growth, but growth nonetheless. That has happened.
Now we can just say, like, hey, I'm going to send you a meeting link. Join me in 5 minutes.
Absolutely. Or they'll just call. Sometimes it just will just call you. My phone and my computer will just randomly start ringing. But yeah, that part is definitely amazing.
And I can even go so far as to say that they've taken this new way of meeting into their personal lives, because although it may not be a Teams meeting, a lot of them are meeting with their families on Google Meet, or they may be doing Zooms. And so this virtual meeting platform type of thing, whether it be personal or whether it be as teachers trying to teach your students or meet with your grade level, I think it's become part of a norm for socialization and speaking. So
I might have been doing I think on Sunday, on Mother's Day, I FaceTimed like 4 different times to people because I didn't have meetups on Mother's Day, but I never did FaceTime prior to all of this.
That's a great point. I just got a Zoom invitation for a 1-year-old birthday party for my friend who, her daughter, they live in Florida and we're in Georgia. So I just got a Zoom invitation. That is so the norm. Like, my Christmas Eve was on Zoom, my dad's retirement party on
my
Zoom.
My wedding.
Oh yeah, your wedding was on Zoom. That's so funny. I also think something to think about when we talk about school looking different, something that I used to cherish as both a child and a teacher, snow days.
Yeah. Yes.
Snow days are pretty much non-existent. That is so sad.
I think that was our compromise with this, huh? You have to give something up. And we gave up snow days. We just got to put a virtual meeting in.
And it was something that was kind of flirted with prior to virtual learning. You know, it was talk about that digital learning and how to weave that in so we don't have to make up so many days because of taking snow days. But you're right. It's like, where's the balance between letting that virtual learning piece not take over some of our normal life practices? Like, how do we find that balance?
I mean, my son is going to literally miss out on snow days. That is so sad the more I think about it. Especially,
you know, another thing that I thought about when you mentioned that balance, Hannah, mm-hmm. was the fact that being virtual sometimes makes people feel like that you're just available whenever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when these online meetings and things came, I know that I had to quickly balance myself because Jamila mentioned before her computer ringing or her phone ringing. Mm-hmm. And that at one time was becoming all different times outside of school hours. So I'm quite sure that teachers probably had to make that balance. And if they haven't, I would strongly suggest that they do. Don't make yourself indisposable or just available whenever just because we have a virtual world now.
I know. That's we have computers. We take computers with us everywhere. Not just a computer, but we have our phones. We have tablets.
Yeah.
So that is something I think will be in question. And I think that people will progressively change and their mindsets, right? We have to change our mindsets and how we can structure our boundaries.
Something else that's slightly off from the tech side of it, but something else that I do remember that's being different now is the concept of like germs. So I remember I'm a primary person. I know Hannah is a primary girl too. So, you know, we're huggy-huggy. Tamika primary. So we're huggy-huggy. Oh, come here, sweet darling. And I remember always doing that. However, right before the pandemic, I had my first child and I was super germophobic and I had already started turning into like, let's not hug, let's mm-hmm. air hug, you know, and things like that. So now after that, I feel like just in general, that concept, like I feel like we start to look at some things differently. Even the concept of blowing out candles makes me a little nervous at this point. Like beforehand I was warm, but blowing out candles, I'm like, God, that sounds so horrible.
Well, you know, like it's the standard of cleaning and the standard of using hand sanitizer. I think that we're just going to be more cognizant of it. But I do think as primary grades teachers, we did talk a lot about like, let's all wash our hands, like on the way to lunch, just use hand sanitizer because we naturally are like, young kids are touching everything. But now I think that that's going to spread across everyone. Everyone is going to be so aware of cleanliness. Absolutely. And about like how they continue to remain with the washing hands. I don't think washing hands is going to go away. I think even now people are going to be like, I told you so, you need to wash your hands.
Absolutely. But also even in schools, also off the tech route for just a minute, just thinking about it, even in schools, you remember prior to this, having soap and paper towel in the bathroom, especially in the younger grades, mm-hmm. was not always the norm. Mm-hmm. Especially in public schools. Like I honestly, some of the schools I worked at, I don't remember paper towels ever being in the bathroom. And I even remember giving students little dabs of soap when they would use the bathroom. They would have to come out and dab of soap and go back in to wash their hands. And I'm like, that's so crazy. But hopefully part of what has changed now is that's maybe one of the things that has changed, that we have got to do better about this whole, you know, just cleanliness and certain things being provided for teachers, that they shouldn't have to, you know, go out.
We're gonna wish this at open house.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. How is that going to change with prepping for next year and like what kind of supplies students are bringing to school?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's still hard to find Lysol spray. It's not as, yes. you know, as it used to be.
So I guess now that we've kind of talked about things that we've noticed, things that have kind of been stuck and things that haven't changed, what do you think that is going to look like in regards to like instruction? You know, what is it that you see that teachers are starting to do that they realized works well from virtual learning? And even though they're getting back face to face, what do we think they're going to continue to do that they're going to pull over from their virtual learning experiences?
So definitely I'm going to leave the Nearpod majority to Tamika. However, I do feel like now, like even just flipping the concept of flipping the classroom is becoming so a part of the norm that it's not even to me a label anymore. Like it used to be, oh, did you flip the classroom, like this perfect little word, but I feel like it's becoming the norm. That's what it is. You get some assignments maybe ahead of time through different things, Teams, Google Classroom, whatever platform you are, or Canvas, whatever platform you're on. I just think that those are going to be so ingrained in what happens that some of the vocabulary that we use as like buzzwords are going to be non-existent. I think it's just going to be a part of what we do.
And that's kind of changed, I think, the way that people have present, the way that teachers have been presenting things to students. I think we've all been really focused on, well, how can we keep kids engaged? Because it's always been, you know, how do we get them to log on? How do we get them to show their face? How do we get them to raise their hands? How do we get them to speak up? So I think teachers have been really good at being creative and really good at figuring out those ways to keep students engaged. And I think they've realized, hey, I can do this face-to-face. Like maybe I should play more games. Maybe I should be more hands-on, quote unquote, or maybe I should be more, do more application instead of sit and get. I think that teachers are really thinking about more creatively how to present their content.
And, you know, I was also thinking about the fact that prior to the pandemic, I can remember trying to show teachers or convince teachers how to, quote, clone themselves with flipped instruction and doing different things. And although during the pandemic, they were getting more interested in how to do that because, let's just face it, that's what was helping them with trying to juggle the students in the class or the students that were virtual or both at the same time. I can say that now, learning those different techniques, once they get into the classroom again, they can think about ways to do those same things in centers or, you know, within the class where they don't have to have themselves in more than one places at one time physically, but they can pre-plan and flip some instruction. And let's face it, summer break is coming up and we know the teacher in us. Over the summer, we might say we're not going to touch anything or we're not going to look until the new school year. But then as July starts to creep in, those teachers that want to be proactive, they begin to pre-plan. So having some of the different platforms available will allow them to do that and have that available. And just a little bit off, I just received a message from someone on Twitter yesterday that's already trying to go and make Nearpods for next school year to have to begin their, they have to have some kind of plans available. And they were asking about being able to set due dates into next year. So I think that this pandemic has actually caused them to be able to think that far in advance to say, let's get this done now before school is out. And they have that availability and the knowledge of how to do it.
That's a good point.
I think something else that is a little different as well is I feel like I've never heard the concept of SEL so much in my life. Social emotional.
Yes.
Yeah. I have never heard that terminology so much. And I think that this pandemic really has forced us all to really focus on what's important in terms of family and, you know, time and things like that. And it's really causing us to think about the whole child and not just, oh, what did you learn today? You know, what else? What other components? How are you socially?
How are you feeling?
Right. They've been locked away for so long.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good thing that I think has come out of all of this is, you know, we have to think about students not just as an academic performer, but we have to think about them as people, as kids. And
Absolutely.
We have to really think about how we're helping to raise the future. And I think teachers have done a really good job. I know we term it as social emotional learning, but I think it's just teachers that are being helpful and being good humans. And I think it's like we're just all trying to support each other. And I think that includes supporting the kids.
Absolutely. I even think that also goes into the concept of how you're monitoring for understanding. So I feel like pre-pandemic, everything was so grade-based. Like, what was your grade? What's your grade for this? Da, da, da. As opposed to really, I feel like now with virtual learning and hybrid learning and things, you really have to focus on, did they understand this? You know, you have some students that are in, you're having to give the information in various modalities. So you really have to focus on the understanding part as opposed to just, did you complete it and did you get a grade? And I think that's something that's very, to me, something that I saw that was definitely a shift in
thinking. I saw grades constantly, the grade requirements constantly being changed, and I almost think it's a good thing, so that it can change to just be more so focused on the actual learning and the student, going back to that concept of the whole child and not just how do they score on this specific.
Well, and there's a lot of conversation about learning loss and about recovery of, you know, what happened during virtual learning. But I think that it's, while that's good to kind of talk about and consider and moving forward, I think it's also like an opportunity for us to reconsider how we've done things in the past and to reconsider what really is important, like to your stance, Jamila, about do they understand? Not that they are just like accomplishing this task because it's in our pacing guide, but because we really want them to move on with their understanding of it. And because we have to kind of push forward, even though there are some quote unquote gaps, we still have to understand how those gaps can play into what we can apply to what we're required to teach. So that piece about understanding is really a big mind shift.
And that understanding helps answer the why. So with us tapping into the social emotional learning, we in the past, we may have looked at how a student was performing. We're looking at the how. We're looking at the what, which is the grade that they receive. But with social emotional learning integrated, it will now also help us understand and answer the why. Why might they have this misconception? Why might they be scoring poorly or doing poorly in school? And it may tap into some social emotional type mm-hmm. of issues that will help us to go back and be able to hopefully support them through or give the supports.
Very true. The other thing, I mean, something else for us to consider is classroom management and how does that look different now? What are some strategies? Because I feel like some of the things that you could have done then, mm-hmm. all the kids were face-to-face and all the kids, you know, that obviously had to change in terms of even like if you're doing treasure box or stuff like that. So I just wonder, what are some of the strategies that teachers are using now for classroom management, or even when kids are fully back face-to-face, you know, what about that has changed? Do y'all have any ideas about that?
That's been kind of hard because I think it's the focus on management for virtual learning has been about like involvement, you know, like are the students yeah. turning in their work? Are they logging into the meetings? So that question I think has merged into this whole management, whereas face-to-face, the management is more behavior focused. And I think online, the management is more involvement. So I think to merge the two, and now that we are in this weird simultaneous face-to-face and virtual modes, really classroom management is about, you know, how are we getting students to show up and engage? I think it's more focused on engagement now.
I agree.
So we are kind of closing up our time today. We just wanted to kind of have a conversation because these are the things that we've noticed and these are the things that we have been on our minds, especially as we come to a close in our into the school year together. So, you know, audience, whoever's listening today, just please consider, you know, what are your thoughts? What are your feelings? How are you moving forward into the future? And we'd love to hear from our audience members and teachers out there. We'd love to learn from you. So thanks for joining today. And Tamika and Jamila, thank you for the conversation.
Thanks so much.
Yes, great.
From all of us here with the Kennesaw State iTeach team, working on season 6 of the iTeach podcast, thank you sincerely for listening. If you like more resources, check out our resource hub at ksuiteach.org, or follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and even YouTube. If you'd like to get in touch with us directly, check out iteach.kennesaw.edu. Thanks again. See you later.